Hello and welcome to Happy Place with me, Fern Cotton. Today, how to laugh when you've been to hell and back.
My family are absolutely hilarious. The way we go about life, we don't take things too seriously. And I think that's what I've instilled in my life, that don't take life too seriously because, you know, we're all going to be dead one day.
So I thought, right, mashed potato and porridge oats, I'll have that the night before and then I'll be okay and I'll be full of like glycogen ready to run the marathon. But Audrey didn't digest the porridge and the mashed potato and decided to chuck it out my body at 3 a.m.
And I used alcohol as a coping mechanism, right? And it would be dead easy for us to be like, oh, but I don't recognise that girl now. Like, I drink green juice and I do 5 a.m. yoga and I give birth to an avocado.
There's a reason for the cliched line, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Those heightened emotions can actually be so close together. It's like when a toddler falls over and you have those few seconds where everyone holds their breath, waiting to see if they're going to whack out the tears or a giggle. I think not taking life too seriously can be a brilliant coping mechanism in otherwise anxious times. Sometimes I can take life way too seriously. And I can get just really in a funk because I can't see the humour. And that is something that I need constant reminding about. Laughing is just such a brilliant perspective shifter. The rubbish thing has happened regardless. It's up to you to then choose how to react to the situation. So today, loads of brilliant examples of just that. The crossroads where people have decided to see the funny side of a situation or of themselves. Fat Timbo explains how humour has helped her family. Adele Roberts tells the absurd story of what happened to her and her stoma the night before running the London Marathon. Dawn French chats about owning the moments you were a bit of a twat. And Vicky Patterson, live from the Happy Place Festival, explains why it's so important not to shame our past selves. We can have a laugh with them along the way instead. I hope you'll find what they have to say really useful for your own life. But if not, you'll have a bloody good laugh along the way. On that note, stick around till the end because there's some behind the scenes off-air stuff that will have you creasing up.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, let's do it. Here's the show. Humour seems to be a really important theme throughout your whole life and also your upbringing with how your parents, or your whole family really, deal with life and deal with the unexpected and situations that come up. Would you say that's true?
That is definitely true. Mm. Obviously, it starts from my family. My family are absolutely hilarious. The way we go about life, we don't take things too seriously. And I think that's what I've instilled in my life, that don't take life too seriously because, you know, we're all going to be dead one day. You know what I mean?
Let's just cut to the chase. We're all going to die.
Yeah, we're all going to die. So why take things so seriously? So in terms of like, there was one story that I mentioned in my
Tenerife. Don't. I had a panic attack reading that. I was like, how are you guys reacting this? Please tell this story.
So when we went to Tenerife, it was very eventful. We had so much fun. It was great. When it was time to go home, we went to the airport and we lined up as you do, you know, get your boarding passes. They said to us, your flight was yesterday.
I don't.
Sorry.
And you guys
laugh.
But you guys just all laughed.
We all just, no, at first it was shocking, yes, but it was just, if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
But I would go straight to cry. I would forget the laugh bit, Fatima. This is the problem. I would so be we so, that's my laughing. Worst nightmare. I'd be so panicked, I'd feel out of control. And you guys were all like on a roll of laughter where one
was
stopped and then someone else
would laugh.
It
was a funny day because my dad's panicking. Like, it's just the way my dad's reacting and laughing. So what's this? How did we... Oh my, who did it? And then finding someone to blame. Me and my brother just laughing. We're like, what the hell? Well, we ended up back in London. There was a flight on that same day, so it was fine. It was super expensive, yes, but we made it. So
it's important. What it is. But I think having that in the back of your mind when you can to not take life seriously is an amazing coping mechanism in the everyday stuff, but also in the more poignant or challenging moments of life to go, just don't take yourself so seriously. And I think reading your book, that really hit home. If I can feel myself getting a bit serious and like judging myself a bit or overly worrying, humour is such a great perspective shifter, really, isn't it? Because it's not going to actually change the situation, but it switches your perception of something.
It definitely does. Mm. I think for me, humour is so important to have that because it brightens up your day. When you're feeling low and feeling down or, you know, you're overthinking, when you laugh, you forget, you know, you feel good about yourself or you feel good about a certain situation. And I think it's so important to just have that in your life instead of always being so serious.
And may we add on top of that, the night from hell that you had before the London Marathon.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm like, which night? Because Audrey's so naughty.
Reading this book and I felt sick for you because I am obsessed with sleep because it's not guaranteed with me. So I get really panicky about, even if I've got a podcast, I won't go out and do anything in the evening before because it might disrupt. And that's too much. I know I've got to address the balance. I'm a work in progress. I'm very happy to say that. I've not mastered any of this stuff, but I don't trust myself. If I go out, if I get back and I'm overstimulated and then I start thinking about things, I won't sleep. It might mess up the podcast. I don't want to do that. So I'm really like nerdy about my routine and sleep and yada yada. I can't imagine things going so tits up the night before a marathon and you still managing to do what you did. Tell us about this awful night. I was shaking reading this book.
So,
because you want the perfect night's sleep before a marathon.
Without
That's
a doubt.
That's all you want. You just want to sleep for 8 hours. It's not a massive ask. Oh, mate.
So the night before, it's a rookie error really for me, but it's because I was making it up as I was going along. There's not many people that have run a marathon with a stoma, so I didn't know what to eat. So I decided to eat mashed potato and porridge the night before.
Is that normally okay with your stoma? Like what?
Yeah. It's palatable with a stoma. Right. So it's easy, digestible food. Really, if Audrey had her way, I'd be eating sausage rolls, anything beige, like any processed food is really good.
Heaven.
Because it's already been broken down by industry and you just almost like put it in your body and it melts away and it goes in, whereas I can't really have like veg and fiber anymore. Anything with like a skin on, I can't break it down because that gets done in the large colon, which I can't use at the moment. So it's almost like I have to have like just really easy to eat food. So I thought, right, mashed potato and porridge oats, I'll have that the night before and then I'll be okay and I'll be full of like glycogen ready to run the marathon. But Audrey didn't digest the porridge and the mashed potato and decided to chuck it out my body at 3 a.m.
And you feel I'm deep breathing about this one.
So you feel the tingle. I get woken up all the time by the tingles of Audrey. So I'm like, is she still in her bag or is she going wild? As she managed to break the seal on the bag, because what your stoma can do is, stoma bags aren't an exact science and they're still being worked on. So they stick to your body with like this sticker. And if you have a naughty stoma, sometimes they can get the sticker off and just escape. And then it's basically like having an open tap on the front of your body. It just comes out and you can't control it. So I'm like the exorcist spewing like porridge and mashed potato in a fancy hotel. So I like jumped out of bed, ran into the shower. It's doing its thing, spraying it all over the shower, but then my pyjamas are ruined and then it got stuck in the shower. So then I had to the shower started flooding because it wouldn't go down the plug hole. So because it was fancy, it was like one of those flush to the floor showers.
Oh, you want a shit shower in this situation, not a fancy one.
And then it all comes out from like the shower door and it just like floods the actual bathroom. So I'm there with no clothes on, cleaning a posh hotel bathroom of like porridge oats and mashed potato at 3 a.m. And Audrey's just like,
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, great. And then you can't get back to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, so then I'm lying there thinking, God, it's 3 a.m. I need to be up at 6. What am I going to do? And that, like you say, that anxiety just keeps you awake then. So I tried to go to sleep, but I just pretty much lay there like that.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
But this is, again, a really important life lesson for any of us on just a regular day to not write off the success of a day because you haven't slept. And I used to do this all the time. I'd go, oh, well, today's absolutely screwed because I didn't sleep and it's all going to go to shit and I'd be so dramatic. And actually, I'd get to the end of the day and go, well, that was all right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no drama. I did the job and everything was fine and I'm a little bit more tired than I'd be normally, but it's fine. You not only managed to get over that, you know, the would-be drama, you managed to run a marathon in 3 hours 30.
Yeah. Now you're saying it, I'm like, how did that happen?
How?
But it did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
God, it's complicated, but it's utterly...
It is complicated.
It is.
But don't forget the fun.
Oh, it's
of,
so
you know,
fun.
That's the only thing that I can... That is a constant in my life is that of every difficult thing, and certainly every mistake, there's the flip side of it where you go, I can't believe this is who I was in that particular occasion. I can't believe I had a crush on this person and said
those
things.
The story that made me laugh out loud, and then yes. I had to go and read it to my husband,
yeah,
was when you went to the panto with Jennifer,
yeah,
and you weren't in on the joke
yeah.
that everybody else
knew.
Got.
Do you want me to tell the story?
Please.
So I went to a panto. We went to see a friend of ours. I don't think we'd only just started. We must have been about 23, 24. And we were sitting in the middle of a row. And our lovely friend Gareth was singing. He was Prince Charming. It was marvellous. And the buttons came on and were announced that there was going to be a prize for whoever had the winning magic number on the back of their programme. And I've never won a prize. And that mitigates my story a bit. I've never won a prize. And what's more, he then held up the prize, which was a giant troll. Those kind of trolls that you stick on top of a pencil.
Loved a troll.
I collected those
yep.
in all colours of hair. But this was giant. I mean, I really wanted it. Wanted it more than any 23-year-old should. but really wanted it. So very interested in that. Buttons comes on. He puts his hand in the bucket to take out the random winning number. And he announced that the number was number 13. And I had number 13. I could not believe it. Finally, I had won something. So I just pushed everybody else out of the way in my row. I can see it now. You know, scraping my knees past her. Get out of the way. I'm the winner. Getting out into the aisle. And even Jennifer trying to pull me back. And I just thought, oh, she wants it. She's not having it. So I got to the aisle and I started a little victory trot all the way down to the front. And there was this kind of noise going on all around me. And I mistook that noise for a kind of them goading me on, like, you know, celebrating the champion. And I got to the stage, got all the way to the stage. So I'd come from the back of the theatre down to the front. And he whispering something to me. And I was going, what? What? I can't
just
hear you.
The troll.
Because of all this laughing that was going on, that should have been the first red flag. And he said to me, everyone's got number 13, it's a joke. And I was the only person in the whole theatre that had not got the joke.
Oh,
and there were people who had dementia there, and they got the joke, and I did not get the joke. The humiliation of it, awful. But what's great is I tell the audience the story and they know what that feels like. Maybe they never were quite as twatty as me, but they feel for me in my twattiness, because the walk back to my seat, honestly, took about 20 years. It took 2 seconds to run down. Without the troll. Didn't get the troll.
Didn't get the troll.
Wanted it outrageous. So badly.
Why is the word twat so good? It's like the it sounds so
do you know, it seems to have
perfect.
Offended a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, I know that it can refer to genitals. And it doesn't to me. To me, it's a gentle, a sort of a slap with a hug.
It's you know, the it's funniest like that, isn't word. It?
And if I say to you, oh, fine, stop being such a twat.
Yeah, I'm like,
okay. Do you want me to tell you when you were a twat?
Look at your face.
Her face has changed now. I saw the most wonderful twatty thing you did, and it was just yesterday. And I love you.
Yesterday?
I love you so much for this.
I can't. What am I going to... Oh.
I love you so much for this. Please have that hug first. So you, in all your kindness and your generosity, which is huge with you, she's looking at me over the top of her book. She's so afraid. I've got so much power at this moment. You, with all your kindness, decided to put on your Insta stories how yep. much you love this book.
Yeah.
So this is how it went. You hold up the book and you say, can I just say that this book is... Oh, look at my eyebrows. God, I've put far too much. I've done something to my eyebrows. I don't know what I've done. I've put too much on there. Anyway, yeah, I don't. I must be careful not to do that. Anyway, this book... In the middle of praising the book, you noticed something about yourself, like we all do, and thought, oh, look at that. I'll have a little moment thinking about that. And then, anyway, back to the business.
I think it's really good to hear about social anxiety. I certainly have it. And again, that might surprise some people, might not surprise some people. I love communicating. I'm much better one-on-one with someone if I'm having a cup of tea with someone or at someone's house. But those big social situations, I feel exactly the same. I probably in my 20s did absolutely deal with it, drinking and just sort of, yeah, having a gin and tonic to sort of take the edge off. Now, I just don't go out. That's like my coping mechanism. I just don't go. I think so many people suffer with that and feel we can look around a room at a party or even something like all sitting in this tent today and assume that everybody else around us feels a level of comfort. Like, they look like they're coping all right with this social situation. Whereas probably 90% of us are in our heads going, am I sitting weird? Do I look all right? What's my hair doing at the back? I can't actually see what's going on right there. Like, we're just worrying constantly about every little judgment that someone might have. So, and in our country, it's a go-to. Like, you know, cheers, you have a drink, it's someone's birthday, cheers. It's so ingrained in us, the way we sort of move through the year.
Absolutely.
So it's really good to sort of unpick that and look at how what we use to ease that social anxiety. I also think it's really important in the conversation of, I guess, self-improvement. We're in this, you know, strange time where wellness is talked about a lot more, and in good ways and maybe less helpful ways. And I sometimes feel a bit irked when we talk about self-improvement and like there's this better version of us in the future and that version of us will cope with life and everything is going to be fine. And I think we've got to find the middle ground with that, which I believe you've found really perfectly. So you make changes, you lose things that aren't working for you, but you don't become this brand new person and then sort of hate on the old you.
Yeah.
I think it's so important in this self-improvement journey, whatever language you want to use, that we can look back and not abandon old versions of ourselves. Because I certainly went through a phase where I thought, oh God, I'm so embarrassed by young me. Oh my God, cringe, like me on kids' TV. Hey, doing all this stuff. Embarrassed, don't want to look at it, abandon. And that's the worst thing you can do. We've got to change and grow, but not ditch parts of ourselves. I think it's a fine line and it's really tricky to do, but it's imperative if you want to feel okay.
Yeah. And it's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, so I struggled so much with the version of me that was presented in my early 20s, you know? And like, for a long time, I've tried to distance myself from that image. But I've got to take accountability, you know, like regardless of the fact that I was on a show and there was pressure and there was whatever else, like I did do those things. And like regardless of whether the cameras were on or not, I probably would have behaved in a very similar way. That's just who I was, you know. I was brash. I was aggressive. I was lost. I was misguided and I was struggling to deal with things that were going on at home. And I used alcohol as a coping mechanism, right? And it would be dead easy for us to be like, oh, but I don't recognize that girl now. Like, I drink green juice and I do 5 a.m. yoga and I give birth to an avocado. But it's not fair.
Mm. If it wasn't for that girl, I wouldn't be where I am now. And we need to stop being so hard on ourselves. Because in 10 years' time, this version of me here, I'm not going to recognise her either. Doesn't mean she wasn't great. Doesn't mean that she didn't like grow and change and evolve and try and be better and do brilliant things. Like, you've just got to exercise a little bit of like compassion and grace and understand every time that you are in a place, that's exactly where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that there's this like when I just movement, you know, when I just lose that stone, I'm going to go on the date naps. Like, when I just get a bit better, I'm going to do this. When I just get a bit better at my job, I'm going to apply for that promotion. And if you're always waiting for that when if moment, you're never going to get fucking anything.
Yeah.
You're not. Like, seize the day.
Is that how the quote actually ended?
Yeah, that's exactly. I believe I've recorded it verbatim. Yeah. But no, like, you're just never going to get any of the things you deserve if you're always waiting to be somebody better. You're never going to get these lovely little moments in life, you know? Like, I met my fella, right? And I was not healed from my past relationship. Like, I absolutely wasn't. I was still struggling. I was processing trauma. And everybody around us was going, just wait. Just wait. You don't want to, like, throw yourself into something new and blah, blah, and all this. And I was letting this get into my head, right? And I was thinking, it is too soon. It is too soon. It was my makeup artist at the time. And she was like, what are you waiting for? She was like, what are you waiting for? She went, what are you going to do if you don't go out with him? Are you just going to sit in the house and cry again? And I was thinking, that was what I had planned, are you? And she was like, you need to start getting yourself out there. And I did. I put myself out there and I went on a date with him and I texted the group chat that night and said to me mates, I went, buy a fucking hat.
Yes.
Buy a hat. Because he's the one. And if I had...
There he is.
Yeah, he's the one.
All right, Erkan.
And we all were getting married next year.
Okay, as promised, some behind the scenes stuff. Do you use the Happy Place app? If so, you'll know that on there I read some really gorgeous sleepy stories to help you drift off at night. The thing is, those stories were not one take wonders. I'm about to let you into the reality of recording very serious things in the studio with producer Anushka and engineer Alan. Maybe best to skip this bit if you're not a fan of a few swears.
The click of his camera added a mechanical novelty. Oh, sorry.
Actually, go from nearby.
Nearby? Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to get on the app.
Exactly. Zanushka, I'm trying to get in on the act. You could be a seagull or something, maybe. You could do some sound. Paint flaked off as we settled ourselves on the old wood bench. Oh, no, I've just made it up a whole fucking sentence. I just added some words. Sorry, let's just do that again. Just like going to free flow now, guys, and do my own story.
It's all
rubbish, I don't like it. Yeah, I'm going to just do my own one. Okay. Yeah, and then they took out their iPad and watched a film. And sacked off the view. right, okay. Then he'd gently run his hand along the surface of the wood to sense its age and sturdiness. Look underneath it.
For fuck's sake. I thought I'd pick the safer one.
You haven't. Okay. Fucking hell. Points up its bulky length.
Does the story need this line? Like, is it integral to the storyline?
I was really trying. I'll go out.
Okay. We'll call you in.
Well, yeah.
We'll just get past curly hairs and then think you can come back in. The humongous trunk was at least a...
Sorry. I forgot that bit. Well, it's in hindsight. Sorry, I didn't realise you were going to stop me. I thought you'd have to... I forgot.
Okay, let's pick a different one. Let's pick The Bark Was Tough.
That's all right, yeah. Sorry, I'm really sorry.
shake it out. Okay, I'm going to think of really awfully sad things now, guys. Oh, going to have to. No, it's the only way.
And it's going to be worse when you still laugh, because then you're going to feel like a shit person.
Fucking hell. Oh, dear. I can't look at either of you.
I'm over here doing official work. I don't know what you guys are over there doing, but...
Oh, God, we are screwed. Okay, very serious.
Do you know what? Sometimes I just listen back to those when I need to cry with laughter. Exorcise whatever demons are going on inside. It's just ridiculous. I really hope the last half hour or so has helped you feel that bit lighter, whatever you're going through right now. If you need one last push to get there, may I offer you some laughter yoga from the Happy Place Festival last year? You can't not laugh if everyone else is laughing around you. That is a fact. More of that gorgeous joy at this year's festivals at Chiswick House and Tatton Park. So do head to happyplaceofficial.co.uk to get your tickets. I would love to have a good old laugh with you there. Massive thanks to Fats Timbo, Adele Roberts, Dawn French, Vicky Patterson, to cackling producer Anushka Tate at Happy Place Studios, and to you. Go on, have a giggle.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.